Billy Graham, hopefully everyone knows who Billy Graham was. He wrote in his book, Nearing Home, old is authentic, old is genuine, old is valuable. Some say old is even beautiful. The older generation may have a hard time keeping up with the young, but let's remember that as long as we are still breathing, we are leading the way. The generations that follow are learning about growing old from us. Are we good examples? While we have all made mistakes and would like to turn back the clock to correct some things, we know that is not possible. But the lessons we have learned from our successes and failures can help those following behind. The impact we can potentially have on them can mean the difference between leaving good memories in our place or simply being out of sight, out of mind. Now, I don't consider myself old, but I am. Statistically, I am beyond my youthful years. I try to keep young. I have an 11-year-old at home, which keeps us young. But I also have a 25-year-old, and so I'm assuming that in the next 20 years, I will have grandchildren at some point. And I have been thinking about this being a missions emphasis Sunday. I've been thinking about our church, and I've been thinking about how we can be missionaries. And I've come to realize that one of the ways, there are a bunch of different ways that we can be missionaries. But one of the ways that we can be missionaries is by being spiritual grandparents. Being spiritual grandparents has its privileges that we will talk about as we look at Titus chapter 2. But it also has responsibilities. It also has opportunities to engage with people that are younger than us, to share our wisdom, to share our experience. And so this morning, as we look at Titus chapter 2, we want to understand that no matter what our age, we have a part to play in fulfilling the mission of God. And the first thing I want to say is that God has commended us to a ministry of modeling. These first few verses. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. And as we read that verse, we who are older men recognize that we are to model balance in our lives. We are to be temperate. We are to be grave, serious, sober, self-controlled, steadfast, smooth. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not afraid or nervous or concerned or frightened or troubled. We simply seek, by God's strength, to remain even keeled. Yes, there are storms ahead, but we will keep the boat as steady as possible. It's really what's being said here. We are to be respectable or dignified. to be and present ourselves as honorable. We're to be prudent, proper, understanding how to act and when to speak and how to carry ourselves. We're called to remain healthy in our faith, in what we teach, healthy in our love and what we cherish, healthy in our patience or in our endurance and what we are willing to tolerate. We are to be balanced. We are to be a model of consistency, which I will tell you, if you are not already aware, if you live with an older man or are an older man or one day have aspirations to be an older man, it's not possible. And yet, we try. We are commended. We are to strive for balance. Older women, teach the older women, verse 3 says, to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Older women are to be reverent in word and in deed. And Paul gives Titus some examples of that. Don't be slanderers. Don't be saying things that aren't true. Gossips or busybodies or... Be honest in your words. Be honest in your deeds. Not bound with much wine, literally. Not tied down because of drinking. In other words, live a temperate, a restrained even life. Now you may think that what I'm saying is, well, men are called to one thing, women are called to another. No, that's not the case. We're still to live balanced lives. We're still to live obedient lives. We're still to live lives that are worthy of our calling, as Paul says in a different place. Women are to be advocates of what is good. We could say the same thing about older men. And it would be easy to lose ourselves in the weeds of these words saying, well, I'm going to work on this, or I'm going to work on that, or I'm going to work on this, or I'm going to work on that. But what I actually want to draw your attention to is what we really ought to be modeling. Verse 1, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And literally, the words in verses 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, some of them aren't there. The word teach, for example, is not there. It is implied. And what I want to say is this. One of the great things that older men and older women can do is follow this word of Scripture and say, I am still willing to be taught. Titus, who is a younger man at this point in time, is told to teach the older men and women various things. Teach what is proper. To the men, teach this. To the women, teach this. To the younger women, teach this. To the younger men, teach this. We are supposed to be teachable. And one of the things that we can do, no matter how old we are, is model lifelong learning. And in this idea of spiritual grandparenting, or actual grandparenting, we can be reading, be experiencing, be taught different things, and be sharing not only what we're learning, but what we are experiencing. We have a society that is woefully ill-prepared to discuss the classics of anything. If it is more than 10 years old, I'm not even sure Harry Potter is still on the... If it's more than 10 years old, most people of a certain age and younger don't care. I was telling someone that I was going to be reading A Christmas Carol over between the middle of November and the middle of December. And it was as if I was saying that I was going to fly to the moon. They were completely oblivious as to what A Christmas Carol was. They were completely oblivious to who wrote it. They were completely oblivious to the story. I said, Ebenezer Scrooge. And they said, oh, I think I saw the Muppet movie about that. There are things that older people have learned or are learning that we can share, we can learn from again. And so one of the things we are called to do is model. We can model balance, we can model holiness, we can model learning. But we're also commended to be mentors. We're to urge younger women to live in a certain way. Then you can train, then you can urge younger women to be husband lovers and children lovers, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, with the intent that no one would malign the word of God. Now we can go into the details and say how anachronistic this is, how anti-feminist this is, and some of it is. I'm not going to lie. The days that the Bible were written were not female friendly. And so we need to take what's here and apply it to our lives together. We're to urge young women to love their families, to exhibit modesty, to be instrumental in maintaining a godly home. And these are things that require experience. There are things that young people don't know. Thanksgiving is coming. And up until a couple of years ago, Janine and I never cooked a turkey in our lives. We always went to my mother's house. Then my mother moved. We had to cook a turkey. And that first turkey wasn't great. It was okay. The gravy with the first turkey, not at all good. And I thought to myself at the time, I wish there was someone that I could call that would say, how do you make gravy? So I called my mother and said, how do you make gravy? We can do that. We who are older can say, you're going to want to know how to make gravy. You're going to want to know, and I'm not giving you advice, but you're going to want to know how to, when it happens, quiet your child. You're going to want to know how to comfort your spouse when they lose a job or when there is a death. You're going to want to have these life skills. And I'm not telling you how to do things while they're happening. I'm going to model them and mentor you so that when these things happen, you will know how to do it. These are not, as Titus puts it, these are not things that it's like, well, as the situation comes around, It is, watch me, look at me, build a relationship with me, and then you can see from the good things that I've done and the bad things that I've done, all the ways that we can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Young men as well are to be self-controlled, are to have integrity and seriousness and soundness of their lives. And that's what we're called to do. Young men are by nature wild and like unbroken horses. And every once in a while they need to see someone who, by all appearances, has most of it together, so that they can know, for example, a long marriage. Young people need to see that a loving, long marriage is possible. Need to see sacrifice. Need to see self-control. Need to see anger under control. The third thing is, I want to just add, that those who are older have something to offer the young. We can teach. But also in verses 6 and 7, in verse 7 in particular, in everything set them an example by doing what is good. With age comes experience. Why require young men and women to make the same mistakes we've made, when we could tell them, these are the mistakes I've made. You would be wise not to do the same. But on the other hand, we also have beneficial shortcuts that we have learned with time. I understand that it says that you should do this. But what you really ought to do is this. I know it doesn't make sense. A number of years ago, my mother-in-law got a dryer, a new dryer. And I don't know if any of you have ever gotten a new dryer or used dryer. One of the things you have to do is you have to find your plug and attach the cord that goes into your plug. And so as we got this new dryer, my son, who was, 18 at the time, maybe 20 at the time, I don't know, how old was he? He was young, ish. And so I'm just going about my dealing, disconnecting the old cord, plugging in the new cord, and he's looking at me and he's saying, is that really what you're supposed to do? I said, yep, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. Are you sure? This doesn't look right. This doesn't seem right. Yep. All right. All the while, he is on his phone looking up whether or not I was going to blow myself and him out of the basement door. And it was exactly what was supposed to be happening. And I could have said, you need to go to the store and get the cord and all these things. Or you can just take the cord that was on the old dryer and slap it into the new one and then you're all set. But he had no frame of reference for that. And there are so many places, so many things that we can do that people have no frame of reference. With age comes perspective. The older I get, the more aware that I am that I cannot do everything. It would be nice if someone told me when I was younger, enjoy these days that you have so much strength, because there's going to come a day when you won't have that strength and you'll have to rely on wisdom instead. That we cannot do everything. But with age also comes the perspective that we can always do something. So many of a younger generation are unwilling to try because they're unwilling to fail. And we recognize with age that there is benefit in doing something. With age comes wisdom. Doing the same thing over, over, and over again develops the right way of doing it. And hearing things for so long helps us discern the truth from a lie. And that's one of the things that, in particular, we as a church can offer. We who have heard the gospel, we who have seen in our lifetimes, teachings come and teachings go, we can help younger people recognize this is from Scripture, this is not from Scripture. There are so many ways that we can help those who are younger than us. And Scripture's call for us to model and to mentor and to speak into the lives of those who are younger than us. To share the words of truth. To live lives that have integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech. Our sermon in a sentence is this: we are never too old to share our faith. In his book, Witness Essentials, Daniel Myers tells the story of an elderly woman who heard a sermon in which she felt God encouraging her to look for ways in which she could use her particular gifts and situation to minister to the needs of others. And so this woman thought about what she had. She realized at her advanced age she couldn't do much. But she said, "I feel that I have the gift of hospitality." So this is what she did. She wrote on 500 3x5 index cards the following: "Are you homesick? Come to my house at 4 o'clock p.m. for tea." And then she included her phone number and address. Now, I'm not sure how long ago this was. I have a feeling it might have been quite a while ago. I'm not sure that this would be an advantageous or beneficial thing. Maybe just include your phone number and not your address. But she did this. And she waited. She went to the university and just put them everywhere, these cards. "Are you homesick? Come to my house at 4 o'clock for tea." And she waited. And at first, only a couple of people took her up on her offer. Slow start, but homesick students began trickling into her house each day, each week for tea. Ultimately, when she died 10 years later, she had 80 honorary pallbearers at her funeral. Each one of them had been a student who, once upon a time, had found a hot cup of tea, a sense of home, and the gospel that was founded in a hospitable heart of a faithful saint. And you may say to yourself, "I can't do that." And maybe you can't. But you can do something. There are people all around us that need a grandparent, need someone who is not going to say, "I am responsible for you," but someone who says, "I can be responsible to you. I can be a friend." We have people who come in and out of the church. We have people all around us in homes and who are homesick, desperately homesick, that we could say, you know what? Let's grab a cup of coffee. Let's grab a whatever. Latte. We could share our stories. We can entrust our legacy. We could be spiritual grandparents. We have, just as Titus was saying, just as Titus was taught, as Paul was saying, we have something to teach. We have something to share. We have an example to set. And so part of our missionary service is to offer our lives as an example to those who are coming up behind us, who will one day be where we are, who probably already are ready to take on more responsibility. And we can tutor them and mentor them and shape them. Shall we pray?